Today on the Cooligans, Major League Soccer has decided to not go to the fall calendar. Mm. What are they doing? Is it a missed opportunity?
We talk all
about it. Then we have some Sunday night soccer matches. The Fire, Inter Miami, St. Louis, Columbus. And we got a little mouse in the house in Vancouver. We talk all about
not here. Also, we talk a little bit about Europe. Salah got his check, but does Van Dijk get one? We talk about that. Plus, Onana, what you doing, my guy? But is that the best Manchester United got? And then, of course, in the third segment, we have to talk about Weston McKennie getting a little bit of trouble over there in Europe. Is it illegal, though? I try to make the case that it's not. That and more today on the Cooligans. Okay, so we celebrated Mateo turning 2.
Correct.
And now this weekend that just passed was my wife's birthday, and she turned beep. I'm not going to do that, right?
She's 3.
20, a little bit older than Mateo, a little bit more advanced. She's 27 yet again. Round of applause for the wifey. Shouts to D. So she got a very beautiful cake made, right? One of the people that follows her on social media is a cake maker and was like, hey, I want to make a cake for your birthday. And it's like a dupe, if you will, of like a very expensive cake. First of all, it was delicious. There were chocolate chip pieces in the cake batter.
All right.
Oh, yeah, we need to do more of that. Why aren't we doing more of that?
It's a good move.
I was like, every time I took a bite, I'm like, I'm enjoying this so much. Why is that? Little crunchy bit, little in there.
Yeah, because I'm not a big fan of chocolate, but
why are we having this conversation with you?
But I love a little bit of chocolate. Usually my problem with chocolate is that there's too much
of it. It's overwhelming.
But like little bits of chocolate in things, I'm like, this is the right amount of chocolate.
I don't want to veer off the conversation, but you being a Dominican, there's nothing sweeter in this world than a Dominican birthday cake.
Sure,
that is covered in so much sugary bits. There's even those little silver balls that are sometimes placed into the icing. They're little sugar balls.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's already insanely sweet. Sometimes the cake is moistened because simple syrup is poured over it to absorb into the cake. I don't know if you know that about Dominican birthday cakes. So it feels like very moist, like almost like a tres leches cake.
Yeah, yeah.
More sugar is added to it. And then they put sugar on the outside anyway. So long story short, the cake is gorgeous, right? Now, the birthday party is being held at the same place that my buddy is doing a collab and pop-up with at Commodore 2, known for incredible fried chicken sandwiches. So the chef is like, I'll take care of the cake. Can you just bring paper plates so that the staff doesn't have to wash all these cake plates? I said, I got you. So I hand him this massive cake. Comes in a box, this beautiful box, almost looks like a large shoe box. There's like it's a cardboard and there's a top on it, right? Mm-hmm. Protecting this cake. I hand him that. He's like, I'm gonna put this in the fridge. I give him the plates and I said, bro, who's gonna handle cutting this? Right, I'm in charge of the cake. I don't know why anyone made me in charge of the cake. I'm really good at eating it. I don't know how to disperse it. And he goes, I'll be the one who cuts it because I want to make sure it's done right for D. Can you just help me? You know, when the time comes, present it to her, right, with the candles,
right,
and then hand it back to me. I said, I got you. So it's me and a chef. This guy takes the top off the cake, lights it, hands it to me. I pick up this box. I bring it to my wife. The only thing I've heard from this moment on, first of all, it's a beautiful cake. My wife looked gorgeous. It's her birthday. I did it correctly, okay? I did everything correctly. I have not stopped hearing from women who were at this party, why did you leave the cake in the box? Why'd you leave the cake in the box? Why'd you leave the cake in the box? Yo, no one got to see the cake. The cake was in a box. I was like, you see it in the video. You can see. I didn't put the top back on.
But the sides of the box.
The sides of the box. So imagine the shoes are still in the shoe box.
Yeah, they're blocking the view. Blocking the view from the side.
Well, she saw it. It's her birthday. Did you know you were supposed to take the cake out of the box? Not the regular box that like opens up where the top is attached to it.
Right. Yeah. I've never been in a situation where I couldn't see the cake. You know what I mean? So you're asking about like.
But you could see the cake.
Depending on
Can you see people in a convertible car? Yeah. You just can't see the pants.
It's depending on the angle.
You don't see pants and shoes.
The viewing angle that you're trying to look at the cake from will determine how well you can see the cake. So some people, depending on where they were standing, probably couldn't see the cake and were disappointed.
But then you're at a bar, you're a little drunk, maybe you see the video later. It's a beautiful cake. There's beauty shots of the cake from the baker.
Yeah.
So those are online. You got to witness the cake there. I didn't feel I did something wrong. No guy has mentioned, has referenced, or cared that the cake was in the box. Every one of my wife's friends, how could you leave the cake in the box? How could you, oh my God, blah, blah, blah.
Women be caring about cakes, bro. Bro,
damn, son. Yo, y'all be shopping, ain't caring about cakes and boxes.
Well, there is, when it comes to festivities or just celebrations, there seems to be a heightened awareness of, like, you know,
getting
the experience,
it all right. Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, I don't know if this is just a man thing or right. whatever. I'm just
this
like
this is a manosphere podcast.
I'm just
now,
saying.
Bro.
I'm like, I just want to hang out with some fun people enjoy my time. What are we doing? Why are we putting all this pressure on ourselves,
bro? If somebody delivered me a cake and no one could see it, I'd be like, hey, I got cake. I wouldn't be like, how dare my friends not have been able. Me and the fellas couldn't see the pageantry, the display that you put on for us.
I think there. I mean, even with like Mateo's birthday, there were certain things that Helene was like, oh, I don't know if did people like this. I'm like, who cares? It's a 2-year-old's birthday. Like, if you are going to a 2-year-old's birthday and leaving, being like, damn,
popping enough, bro.
I'm like, you're not a good person.
Yeah. Yo, I just didn't have enough fun at your infant's birthday party, bro.
I thought it was going to be more lit than it was.
I brought all these singles. Nobody, none of the other moms was taking their clothes off. I don't know what. Maybe I read the invite wrong, is what I'm saying.
I'm just saying, I don't know what people are expecting from somebody. It's just like, yo, have a drink, have a good time, and go on with your life.
I'll never understand going to someone else's birthday party and being like, it was fun until the loving husband put the cake in a box. You know what? It was ruined for me.
The cake was obstructed.
Yeah. You know what I did? I took my gift back. Because I don't deserve it. If I can't see the walls of the cake,
I felt like
you don't get the gift.
I felt like I was watching a game at Goodison Park.
Way to bring it back to soccer.
That's what we do here. Yeah. Welcome to the Cooligans, everybody. My name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerrero's.
All right, my man. He's like, he don't care if you see the cake or not.
No. Ooh, right? I want you to see the cake. Go to our Patreon.
We are here as always on Yahoo Sports, crushing it per usual. A lot to go over today in Major League Soccer and some European football. Mm. Today we got to start with Major League Soccer with the news that came out. I believe it was either Wednesday or Thursday of last week. It was after we recorded the episode, but the MLS Board of Governors. They have decided that that they will not be switching to the European calendar, basically the FIFA calendar that most countries use. So
not switching, not the fact that after the World Cup in 2026, hosted in this country, could have been the beginning of an MLS season. The genius of that, the immediate opening opportunity for marketing right there. Just presenting yourself in front of that World Cup bounce, that new loving, a nation of new soccer lovers suddenly being told, in fact, here's a league that also has Messi in it because he's staying here for another 2 seasons.
Yeah.
You get to start right now. Go buy those season tickets. You just fell in love with the sport. Now you're not going to get that opportunity.
Right.
Is this yet another, what is it called when a cartoon character steps on a rake and it smashes them in the face? Is there like a term for that?
Stepping on a rake.
Game. Is this MLS stepping on a rake?
It feels that way a little bit. And I know there's a lot of contention and debate about this because we're in New York and we've already experienced some cold matches.
You mean the beginning of the season for half this league?
But for teams like Montreal, teams like Minnesota,
it's not perfect.
It's not perfect. It is miserable.
The idea of a fall schedule.
Right.
It's not automatic. There's ways to do it, though.
Yeah, my issue with
this. We can't just go like, well, snow happens. We can't do it. what do you think? Sweden. What do they do?
Yeah. My issue with this is that these conversations feel like they should have been happening a year earlier. Like, I understand the vote happened now, and we started hearing about owners considering the switching to the European calendar. Maybe what, 6 months ago, something like that. It just hasn't been that long where it's been like a serious possibility to make this change. So my frustration is like, where are the proposals of like, if we make the change to the European calendar, what will those certain markets look like? Like, how do you get everybody on board? Basically, after this vote, all they said they're not switching after the World Cup. They're not switching yet, but that they're tabling the idea to possibly do it at earliest would be 2027.
Yeah, right in the moment where everyone cares.
Right.
What is the point?
So that's a little bit frustrating that there should be some ideas and proposals in place of how it could actually be done by now. Because right now it just feels like, oh, should we do it? And not any real constructed kind of plans on how it can be done. And talk to those markets that are incredibly cold, and how do we get those games to happen?
I feel like
there?
That's a logistical question more than it is a convince an owner question. You know what I mean? I think owners probably will be more convinced by, does this grow this asset, right?
Yeah.
Does this make the asset that I have more valuable? I don't think owners are necessarily concerned about the viability of the plan as much as they are does this help the league grow? Does this make me more money? At the end of the day, you hire people to handle the logistics of it. And I think when it comes to, you know, handling cold weather, I mean, Germany does it. All of the Scandinavian countries do it. They're not all in summer schedules. The way they do it is they have like the two-part season, essentially, with a big gap in the middle of it. And I think that honestly would help these players recover anyway.
Well, we've been to Germany in we usually like October, November. That's when we've been there to watch games.
Yeah, like end of fall.
Yeah, so it's cold, but it's not... It's not crazy.
Right. Some weather in America is more Siberian than it is German.
Right, but
Scandinavia, Finland, bro, they got snow. They take like a month and a half break. I don't know exactly how long the break is, but
there are cities in the Midwest or cities in even Austin. Austin gets cold. Like there's like 2-3 months where it's like legit cold, and you don't think of Texas as cold, but northern parts of Texas freeze and they get very, very cold. So
playing in the cold is normal.
I agree. I mean,
I think it's actually safer to play in the cold than it is to play in like 120 degrees with no cover.
That's why I'm a fan of it, and this is why if anybody gives the argument like, oh, it's too cold, that maybe from I think American fans are not. I was going to say, like, they're not used to being in the cold, but they watch NFL games.
So they're sitting outside, no cover whatsoever. So, they literally got tarps on them while it rains.
So, I don't know. I think it's something that maybe...
And it's also a game that takes longer. MLS games are 90 minutes.
That's the argument I would make. I'm just like... The last two summers, I have told myself, like, oh, let me take in my Sunday league. I'm like, let me take summer off. Because
it's brutal.
It is so brutal. But I tell myself, let me take summer off. And then I end up playing because I'm like, damn, I don't want to not play.
Yeah.
And then I play at 2 p.m. on a Sunday afternoon in the summer.
You might as well be playing on the surface of the sun.
It's like I see the when you look in the cartoons when you see the heat rising.
Like looking above the hood of a car. Right.
You see it like wavy and stuff. I see that like at the end of the pitch, right? It's that hot. And so that's the argument I would make. I'm like, I understand, playing in like 5-degree weather, like we saw the U.S. men's national team and Matt Turner like freeze his toe off.
Yeah.
That is not ideal. And that is what should be avoided. But we should, the next few players that we have on the show, we're just going to ask them, what do you prefer, playing in a very cold climate or a very hot environment? Because I would imagine most players are just like, I'd rather just play in the cold because it's so uncomfortable. And then there is the argument of like, maybe for the fan, it's not fun to sit in the cold, but for the player, it's better. And then maybe vice versa.
I would say
in the summer,
I would say probably you'll find fans that are like, it's going to be difficult to get to the stadium if it's snowing out and getting out of the snow and stuff, or if it had just snowed. So I can imagine there's probably more hurdles.
Yeah.
But I think it's also...
Also, sitting in the sun in the summer...
This is my point. It's, you can make yourself warmer. You can't make yourself... I can't bring an air conditioner with me to the stadium.
Well, I mean, if... allow that, maybe. I don't know.
But, you know? Guys, build it. You know what I mean? Build it, and the fatties will come. I don't understand the MLS finds a way to get in their own way. Over and over and over again. And it's almost always at the behest of owners that aren't forward thinking enough.
Right.
Now, to get into this game and to hedge their bets, they were forward thinking. And I don't want to take any credit away from owners that have been able to keep this league alive for as long as they have. You know, there were moments where this league almost completely collapsed. And it was all little things that kind of kept it going. One owner saying, I'll take over more teams, or finding new ways to keep it going.
Phil Anschutz.
Right? Yeah. I will say, by the way, that was a name he said. It just sounded like you made two sounds.
Shout out to Phil Anschutz. Yeah,
the god. I don't even know what that means. But I think now we're at a point where you're now hurting your advancement more than you are halting potential failure.
Fair. I think that a lot of people feel that way. I think also a lot of
people... What about you? Because in the comments, you've been called an industrialist. You've been called a corporatist.
You've been called
MLS shill.
MLS shill. I am here to serve Major League Soccer and do their bidding.
Yeah, that's what you've been told because of your arguments in the last few weeks. Let me give you a chance to maybe set that course correct.
I don't think... I think this is more an issue of... Major League Soccer not doing their due diligence and planning this, and like maybe they need like a project manager to figure out the logistics around all of this, because I think that's the biggest issue that we haven't heard any answer for the concerns that fans may have about, and that's all. I'm only really hearing fans make their either complaints or statements about it, or what they like or what they don't like about it. So I just think there's not much thought being put into this. I think there's conversations. This feels like an exploratory phase when we shouldn't be in an exploratory phase. The idea should have been explored, and now we should be in a place like, okay, how do we do this? And maybe you show the plan, the project plan of like how we do this, and then the owners get to decide if it's something that they want to do. Because
maybe that has happened and we just weren't made aware of it, though. Maybe a plan has been presented.
Maybe. I also think the concerns that MLS still has about competing with college football, NFL, and all this stuff. So that is also the concern, because they do have those few months that they're not competing with like two or three other big sports. Mm-hmm. And probably owners are concerned about that. Again, I'm not here to sound like some MLS defender at all times. I'm just simply saying like maybe this is why things are the way they are, but I'm not saying I'm glad that they are, that things are the way that they are.
I don't know, because me and Carter keep cutting that part out of the show where you say
keep it going. You control the narrative.
Yeah.
You know?
We just make it look like you're saying, nah, I'm with the owners on this one.
So, I just feel
bad for the MLS fan that continues to make, feel like they have to defend this league over and over again. And there's moments where, they're making it easier for me to be an MLS fan. I don't have to like pretend I'm happy with the fact that it's this or that. This is an opportunity. It's like post World Cup, here comes the season right away. There was a question about what do you do before that, right? Do you have a small cup competition in those few months before the World Cup that you're now not going to be starting a league? But now I hope they don't play MLS during the World Cup. And I certainly think it's dumb if you're going to take a month and a half break anyway to not just do that in the winter, or the deep winter months, versus do it just for the World Cup and pretend like, well, we can't do that other times. So to me, it's dumb all the way around. I think the smarter way to go about it would be to do that, especially in light of USL coming up as now a second, another first division, and potentially bringing in a pro rel not that much further after World Cup, if it all comes to fruition. To me, there's so much more marketing opportunity, so much more eyes going to be put on that. You would have had the upper hand, or at least you would have leveled it out had you started in the fall.
Yeah, I think for the sake of the business of the league, and again, competition is going to be more and more important, and attracting players, being on the same calendar helps quite a bit. So you do have to. It's not just trying to get players and so on and so forth, but it's also trying to get players and competing with the calendars of Bundesliga, of La Liga, of.
You think it makes it harder to get players?
I'm saying with the calendar that we're on a different calendar than they are. So that's what makes it harder.
Yeah. Okay, so we're switching to fall.
So I think that's for the bigger picture, that's what they, I just feel like naturally it has to go there.
Yeah.
We're like posturing by not going to that calendar. It's just a matter, it's not a matter of if, to me, it's just a matter of when.
It makes us look amateur to still be in a summer schedule.
Yeah. All right. Next up in Major League Soccer, we have to talk about one of the Sunday afternoon soccer matches. Mm. Inter Miami, Chicago hosting Inter Miami. This was a 0-0 draw. So we don't bring up many 0-0 draws.
No, but let me ask you, right? So they, what was it, 62,000 sold?
62,000, some odd number.
Some odd number. Mm-hmm. Filled out Soldier Field. So a lot of those people are maybe not the biggest Chicago Fire fans, but they saw an opportunity to go there because Messi was going to be in town.
Yeah.
Suarez and everyone else are going to be in town. The fact that Messi didn't score, do you think they still got the value out of that ticket? Do you think they still feel they walked away going, that was money well spent?
Well, it depends on, I guess, who you ask. But in general, I think some people are so obsessed to go see Messi, they got the opportunity to do that. I mean, we've seen Messi play in person several times. We've never seen him score. Mm. I've never left being like, damn, what a waste. You know what? I'm quitting the Cooligans podcast. Yeah, it's been a waste of my life and time because...
Can we just clip that part?
Of course, some people... I would argue just going to a game and not seeing any goal at all is just... You leave...
Atrocious.
I mean, it's a little blue ballsy of a feeling. I mean, ladies, you know I'm dumb.
Yeah, right? Yo, shouts to all the dry humpers out there, bro.
Y'all, I'm just trying to relate. So that part of it is frustrating. But the game was entertaining. That was a lot of incredible chances. There was a goal by Luis Suarez that was taken back for offside. So
a wild offside.
Yeah, he's... he should know better. But
yeah.
And there was also... He shouldn't have just let the ball go. I think he might have known he was offside, and I forgot who was the trailing runner that could have touched the ball and I even got a shot on target. Probably could have led to a goal as well, but
it was by the book. But it was a little blue ballsy.
So the one thing I want to talk about with this game is and this is what was the eighth game I think of the season.
Yeah.
The fact that. Inter Miami get caught out on counters so much, and it has to be in this game. It must have been about four or five times where Chicago were generally they played pretty fantastic. They obviously the goalkeeper Brady had to make some incredible saves,
absolutely.
But I guess reckless is not the exact word, but risky defending that Inter Miami play.
So I mean, this is one of my favorite things about the sport of soccer, right? Like. When you say, like, there's an overload in the midfield, that means there's one less player elsewhere, right? So other players sort of have to take on that additional risk. Can you keep that going? That, to me, is the fun part, especially with the way the sport is played now where it's not like, you know, seemingly it was back in the day where two teams in low blocks and be like, I don't know, you do something. I don't know, you do something first.
Right.
And then the moment there's a space, launch the ball over there. It doesn't seem like they're playing that way. This is, it's fun. It's exciting. It also feels like Mascherano saying, like, let's see if these Americans can keep up with us. You know, like, go ahead. I think we'll be able to track back. I don't know if that is a championship winning style.
Not at all. Like,
doesn't seem like it.
You think?
It seems like it's too risky, but it's exciting.
Because you think about a team, what I pictured Inter Miami would be, even compared from last year to this year, it's just controlling games a little bit more. Possession.
Yeah.
That's not really their game.
Fully direct.
They turn the ball over. When they take, if they take a shot and miss or the ball gets blocked or whatever, when the ball is going, when it's turning back the other way, mm-hmm. Suarez is not running back. Messi's not running. Just those two, we know they're not running back.
We know that.
We know that. And then it's on everybody else. The urgency of like every, and it's a little Argentina-esque, but Argentina control games a lot more. But the urgency to win the ball back is the priority. It's very, very clear. There's a lot of fouls. There's a lot going on. But they get caught out a couple times. And the Fire to not finish their chances.
I think Messi hit the post twice, but I mean, Chicago Fire, this could have been a 3-0 game.
And it's the one thing where they get incredible opportunities, and the goalkeeper Ustari, who looks all of 52 years old out there, and he's just he's 38, just
right.
Look, and it's not, he doesn't move
when
slow.
He gets up. It's hear it, but I know he goes.
There's just something to just what he looks like. Yeah, that's just like this is an old. This is
the look on his face too. Is like, come on, y'all.
This is a veteran of the game.
Yeah.
But they. When attackers are taking shots at him, it's like with Chicago, I'm like, you're hitting the ball at him all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
what about the other parts, the open parts of the goal?
So it's like, what? And I mentioned this a couple weeks ago about like teams that do well against Inter Miami are really just the ones that have the composure that can handle the spectacle and the craziness. Because yes, Messi's on the pitch with you, but he's not. Doing a slide tackle to a goal line clearance. That's not him. You're playing against other defenders,
right.
And because they're fullbacks,
they
play,
defend like they're down a man because they are.
Their fullbacks are so up high. Uh-huh. They're expecting much more from Jordi Alba to be effective on the offense rather than on the mm-hmm. defense, and. It's just so disappointing that teams don't take advantage of it. We saw it in CONCACAF Champions Cup with LAFC, and we saw it with the Fire again. I just can't believe it. It's just like, how do they keep getting away with this? Mm-hmm. It makes no real sense because, again, the goalkeeper is good. He's fine.
Sure, but it's a high wire act defensively. And I think at the end of the day, I mean, this is kind of what we want in MLS, right? Don't you want like exciting? We don't want like pragmatic.
Sure.
Soccer,
yeah,
you know
I'm
what
not
mean?
Mad at it. I'm yeah, like, yeah, yeah. But it's like there's something about it where I'm like they should be punished for their sins of this ridiculous defending.
But when they can pass the ball to Messi or Suarez, it kind of makes it difficult to really get that lick back.
But clear the plan seems clear. So it's like we're gonna score more.
Yeah, we're gonna score. Yeah, and I don't care if it's 4-3.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. That's 3 points.
But we get 0-0, which.
But that's also exciting for traveling fans. At least you got to see an exciting 90 minutes.
I thought it was a good game, regardless. Yeah. So yeah, a little pitcher's duel. Another game.
Pitcher's duel. we really are New York City.
Let's talk real quick. St. Louis against Columbus. This was the Sunday night soccer game. Columbus ended up winning 2-1. But this is just another. This is gonna be another just Wilfred Nancy glaze sesh. All right, he's a homie. He's been on the show,
bro. Cucho Fernandez leaves his team.
Cucho Fernandez, great pitcher out of Venezuela. Yeah.
Cucho Fernandez. Let me tell you something. That's a pitcher's duel you want to see right there. Cucho versus Cucho. Reminds me of my prom night.
Cucho versus Chicho.
Oh.
All right.
Could happen. But Cucho's gone off the team, right? That's a great striker in the league.
Yeah.
You're number nine. You've got Aiden Morris, right? He's no longer on the team. So how do you take that and still find a way to succeed? Hasn't been perfect, but this team is finding ways, man.
Yeah, they're undefeated. I mean, the next game is going to be very exciting. Columbus against Inter Miami in Cleveland, of all places. We're going to love
that. They're playing at the Browns,
at
right?
At the Browns Stadium, which is odd because it's like they have the—
Should we go, dude?
I mean, do we have four days to decide?
Come on. Who cares?
Okay. My 2-year-old, is he? Do I have
Bring
to make
him, bro? It's Cleveland.
He loves
Hasn't that kid always wanted to see the Rust Belt? Is that part of the Rust Belt?
I don't think so.
I don't know. I think it might be, actually. Let us know in the comments. What is the Rust Belt besides the belt that I bought when I was a little bit skinnier?
So I was just mentioning, like, that game this weekend is going to be second. Both teams are undefeated, but Columbus and Wilfred Nancy, what they've just managed to continue to do, even with all those players missing, I guess there's just something to the coaching of like, hey, I'm gonna this is the system we play. This is what I'm gonna ask you to do, and for players to kind of adapt to that so seamlessly. Steven Moreira, who scored the goal, he's a center back.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, even
beautiful, beautiful touch.
Beautiful goal, yeah.
Yeah.
But for him to play that way, where he's clearly like a midfielder that is happens to be playing center back.
Yeah, he's center back in name only.
But he won Defender of the Year last year. And then to be that.
But that is flexible.
That
is the Wilfred Nancy way, right? Like, it's not about the position you're given; it's about the position you're in at that moment.
Sure.
And can you live up to that? And I think that's part of his game is like, you know, being able to sort of be confused by like, wait, why is he up here now? You know, that guy should be back there.
Yeah. So
and you can see that as well. I don't think the defender was ready for him to put a shot on.
Yeah. I think it says a lot about like New York City FC. They played them and that was a 0-0 draw. Mm-hmm. There was a goal from Jason Russell Rowe, but it was called offside. But it shows that, you know, teams have a difficult time kind of adjusting to that or adapting to that, like all that fluidity, mm-hmm. On the team. And St. Louis probably should have done better in this game.
The Joao's goal got called back, right?
Yes, for offside. He scored the first goal early in the game. But this is it just says a lot about when Columbus lost the players that they lost. Everybody was incredibly concerned to lose Cucho and Christian Ramirez. You're like, all right, well, I guess
I forgot about Christian Ramirez.
They're not interested in scoring goals. So that seemed like it was going to be a worse situation. And now they're first in the Eastern Conference. So that to me speaks to just Nancy and his coaching.
He's incredible.
The other thing, real quick, Danny Gazdag joins Columbus Crew. Yeah. He played his first minutes for the team.
He said nothing inflammatory.
He did. He leaves the Union. It was a cash deal. The first thing when I saw the news, why are they getting rid of Danny Gazdag?
One of the best players
In the Eastern Conference. He was the leading goal scorer, I think, for like 2 years or something like that. And he scores a lot of penalties, but he's a great player. We've seen him play a whole bunch of times. The only concern for me is, what are the Philadelphia Union doing? You know, how do you can't replace a guy like that easily? And then also, why sell him to the Columbus Crew,
team you're going to face
a whole bunch of times in the Eastern Conference, probably fighting for a playoff spot?
I think it's obvious. I think the Philadelphia Union ownership is basically saying like, all right, we spend a lot of money on this academy. We spend a lot of money developing players. Some of them we go and sell to Europe. And when they get to the point where we have to start paying them real money, when their tenure in MLS gets to the point where now we actually got to pay them a substantial amount of salary or wage, we move them on. Well, you're out of here. And it's frustrating if you're a Philadelphia Union fan because what are you rooting for? You're rooting for a pro academy at the end of the day.
And the thing is that they haven't been that bad. They've been okay this season.
Jim Curtin, look what he was able to do with not much. And now it seems like, oh, we're actually not that far from having a potential playoff, you know, winning team. And then he's like, nope. Get rid of all the best players.
Yeah, you get rid of McGlynn. You get rid of the guys like now. It's just, you hope that there's a plan in place for maybe. I had posted on Blue Sky about it of like, do they have a plan? Like, what, if they're going to get rid of, they got like $4 million dollars for him. I'm like, all right, so maybe they're going to bring somebody in. And all the Union fans are like, no, that's not happening.
New wing to the academy.
So it's interesting. So we'll see what ends up happening with the Union.
Frustrating because the Philadelphia Union, remember, that's the team that basically the fans, the Sons of Ben, rooted hard and showed up and showed out so that they would get a team in Philly.
Yeah, right.
And now look at what's happened.
Yeah, and then the Union ended up losing to NYCFC over the weekend. So
yeah, I remember that.
So, cool. Okay, real quick to wrap this up. The Austin and went to Vancouver and played. They got smoked. 5-1.
But before that, Brad Stuver collected a little mouse off the pitch.
Early in the game, there's a mouse that runs onto the pitch. If this was Orlando City, I'm like, of course, this is their mascot. They bring the mouse in there. But no, a mouse is on the pitch, and Brad Stuver.
You can tell Brad Stuber lived in New York City. He's like, mouse, got it. No worries. That's why I wear gloves, bro.
Done this before. We've all been in a New York City apartment. This is a, it's not, it wasn't as hectic as like Raquinho, remember with the Union. But also even
when notice the ref didn't attempt to get close to it. He's like, yeah, Mal's over there. We're going to keep that over there.
This is something where I don't even know, even if I had goalkeeper gloves on,
I'm not getting anywhere near it.
I don't know how confident. I mean, I'm not afraid of like rodents per se, but
you're not afraid of rodents.
I'm not afraid.
All those little disease carrying things that could bite you. Yeah. Why should we be afraid?
No, bro. I'm more than anything. If this happened on the pitch. My main concern, similar to what happened with the raccoon at Subaru Park, is how silly you look chasing it. You know what I mean? Like, it darts
around. Can they put yakety sacks over it?
You don't want to look like a cornball chasing a little...
So you got to look up to a smooth. You got to look up to a little
charm
riz.
The mouse.
A little riz. Like, hey, your mouse is good, bro. You ain't got a ticket, though, so we got to...
So I'm not trying to make a scene or anything, but I would say we just got to talk about this.
Also, people might get scared you brought your fam with you. You know what I mean? We don't want to see a lot more of y'all.
So
the cousins ain't allowed at the function.
So I want to just applaud I wish I had goalkeeper gloves on. Yeah. So
Brad Stuver
for the composure in picking up the little mouse. And but yeah, this is also Vancouver. Why the mice
also
in the stadium?
Yo, Vancouver. Yo, clean your house
up, bro.
Get also.
Are you not taking your shoes off when you walk in the stadium, bro?
I don't think that leads to mice. I think it's more crumbs.
I'm just asking questions.
Are you not picking up the popcorn?
Okay.
You got to pick up the crumbs, bro.
Speaking of Vancouver, shout out to Brian White scoring 4 goals in this game, 4 of the 5.
Leading the league? Right.
He is tied with Ty Baribo. Brian White, this season so far, even in MLS and in CONCACAF Champions Cup, in the Champions Cup where everybody's like, this is basically preseason for Major League Soccer. Like,
well, he brought
it's
his
not
scoring
fair.
Boots.
Bro, my man is settled, fitting in now, making it. You know, Mauricio Pochettino was in Atlanta, hitting the spike.
Spike.
Maybe should have been in Vancouver.
Damn.
Watching Brian White because
picking up mice, bro.
Okay. So maybe this is all I'm saying is that making the case for getting real opportunities for the U.S. men's national team, Brian White seems to be doing that. So.
I don't know. He's making an argument for it, but I think he's had opportunities and hasn't necessarily shined. Doesn't mean that he shouldn't get another opportunity.
But he hasn't had that many opportunities. He's not Josh Sargent.
But he has had
okay, he's not Josh Sargent who gets 60 minutes, a nice little jog out in USMNT matches. Let's be real, bro. I feel bad because I want him to do well.
I'm going
to
say something's going to upset MLS fans, but he's doing it in Europe. And sometimes...
But he doesn't do it.
But... That sometimes that means more.
All right.
Not to me. To the USMNT coach.
All right. So, let's take a quick break. We got a lot of stuff in Europe to go over as well. So we'll be right back after this. All right, let's talk some European footy. A bunch of matches, a lot of stuff going on, but there's no bigger drama right now than the little spat, the little war of words between Nemanja Matic and Andre Onana, obviously goalkeeper for Manchester United, former Manchester United player, currently at Lyon, Nemanja Matic. They had their...
I will say it's 1-0, Nemanja Matic.
I mean, we know who was right.
Yeah.
But the comments that happened, this was before the Europa League matchup on Thursday, but Nemanja Matic were responding to Onana's comments. He says, quote, Onana said, they're way better than us. When you are one of the worst goalkeepers in Man United history, you need to take care of what you're talking about. And he goes on to say, if it was Van der Sar...
That's very like... that's kind of like how Fox News does stuff. They don't say, like, streets are dangerous. Are they more dangerous than they used to be? He's like, when you're the worst, I would maybe consider using different words, which is such a slight way of telling someone, you're trash.
Yeah, he goes, quote, if it was Van der Sar, Schmeichel, or De Gea saying that, okay. But Onana, he's one of the worst.
And then he just says it. And he's like, enough with all that slick talk.
Let me get to my point.
Yeah.
You're not sort of with the media training that we hear from and the media speak from most players. We usually don't even get things like this. Maybe like somebody says something on a podcast and it was a little spicy.
Or they say something like, you know, we'll see what happens in the game. You know, something very light, but let you know, like, I heard it.
Yeah, we don't get, he's one of the, like, he went on to, he said he's statistically one of the worst goalkeepers.
My man, Ben Trash, you shouldn't even be able to talk.
Look at these pie charts, right? I'm telling you, bro.
The Venn diagram just has the poo emoji in the middle, and that's him, bro.
So, and I think it's a, you know, Matic, Onana, did make a comment about, like, you know, that at least he lifted a trophy with United, which obviously the FA Cup.
The FA Cup,
And Matt just never did.
Two, right? The FA Cup and the Carabao.
Sure. Yeah, I don't remember when they won that, but maybe they did.
Well, because what's his name? Ten Hag won two trophies.
Okay. That's
so
right.
I can't remember what the other one was, yeah.
So he's... so he pointed, and there was a photo, or I think he posted a photo of him kissing the FA Cup trophy or whatever. So, so you think, all right, Onana clap back. Hey, you ain't won nothing with this team, but right. I did. And then Lyon and Manchester United face each other, mm-hmm. and the two goals that are given up, it ended up in a draw. People are putting a lot of the responsibility of those goals on Andre Onana.
Yeah,
and I'll say this. I mean, the first goal, the in-swinging ball, mm-hmm. and, you know, Onana's waiting for somebody to get a touch on it, reacts late.
This is an error on
Onana. He should have done better because he does go to parry the ball away and completely misses it. Yep. So, that seems like... Again, I'm not a goalkeeper, but it feels like he probably should have done a little bit better there.
Well, hearing other goalkeepers say, and that's a mistake from the goalkeeper, tells me that's a mistake from the goalkeeper.
The second one, it's like, what are you going to do, bro? Yeah. He gets a rocket shot at him. He tries to stop it, and then,
the first one was egregious.
But given all the beef beforehand...
All the spotlight's on you now, bro.
It just can't happen.
No.
I mean, because it sounds like Matic is in your head.
Yeah.
And so that's the disappointing part for him, and I'm sure a lot of Manchester United fans. And then over the weekend in the Premier League, Amorim is like, take a day off.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hey. I spoke to Matic on the phone.
He said,
we suggest you don't play right now.
So there's a little bit of, a conversation worth having on, like, how Amorim is handling this. I don't think he's instilling confidence in Onana. They do have the next leg of that game, obviously on Thursday next week, or this week. It'll be, again, the spotlight is going to be on just one player. And if he makes a mistake again, I think not playing him this weekend is a bad look for a little bit of a hit to Onana's
Here's
confidence.
Where I'm going
to
disagree with you. Bayandor, I don't know how to pronounce the guy's name. Bayandor, yeah. Mm-hmm. The Turkish kid who came in, who was the backup, he looked so bad. He made so many mistakes.
I would say still Newcastle are very good.
Yeah.
And United are a really bad team.
But it would have been worse had suddenly the backup, who everybody loves the backup goalkeeper, right? He's never done any wrong, right? He's sitting there. Give him a chance. Everybody loves the backup goalkeeper like everybody loves the backup quarterback in every city. He comes in and lays an absolute stinker where you got to sit back and go, maybe Onana's not perfect. Maybe it's also defensively causing a lot of issues, right? Maybe it's not just Onana's fault. I agree that Onana makes mistakes. Maybe it's not just his fault. But you got to sit there and say, he might be the best we have. And we had this conversation before we started recording about whether Amorim is making this decision because of what's happened these last few weeks. Sort of that pressure mounting. Maybe it's getting to Onana versus maybe just giving him a break. I actually think this plays into Onana's hand a little bit better because you see the backup's not going to help you, bro. I'm all you got.
Right.
You know what I mean? At the end of the day... Unless they decide, remember when Onana came in, he was one of the best goalkeepers in Europe. I mean, this was like a coup for them to get him. I just think it's overall just the same with Amorim, one of the best coaches in Europe, comes in here, not doing great. They're below Everton, which is, I know, not saying much, but as a bar, not really where you want to be.
Below
Everton. I think at the end of the day, this is more of another symptom of the overall Manchester United problems, just another thing that needs to be fixed. moving forward. This isn't necessarily but a... This, I don't think this team is in Champions League if you remove Onana and get a better goalkeeper in.
But Amramis is making comments of, you know, being coy about not backing his goalkeeper.
What happened when he first got to Manchester United? Everything he said, he wasn't coy at all, and they attached themselves to every word.
This is... Given... if there's just some... It's some, to me, it's like, if another team... If Men in Blazers starts talking crap about Alexis Guerrero's, am I going to be like, oh, you know, well, you know, just some days we don't have a great show, or, you know, or sometimes the other co-hosts are, we'll see what the other co-hosts bring. That would be crazy. To that point, I'm like, defend your man a little bit. That's, I'm not saying you have to start him every
That's
game.
Like somebody calls your lady a hoe and you like, you're like, I mean, she do be, and you're like, no, that's no. You already failed as a husband.
There's a little bit of like, where's a little bit of loyalty? I understand, like, if you're a player is bad and whatever, like, but everybody in United has some accountability. But I could talk about you Men in Blazers can't talk about you. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
that's
so. If Men in Blazers repeats what you normally say about me when the mics are off,
you can't be talking
about my guy like that.
So that's the frustrating part. But again, look, like you were saying, it's not all on Onana. Like the defending is, but Lindelof and the injuries, losing Lisandro Martinez. Now Xerxes looks like he's gonna be out probably for the season. This team is completely. They have so many issues. Again, they are beneath Everton Football Club in the table. This is like, it should be somewhat embarrassing. And I'm
people
saying
need
that
to be
as an
in
Everton
the streets
fan.
In Manchester, bro.
Things are really, really bad. Yeah. I mean, let's just not. I think Amorim not being a little bit more commanding and stern about this situation.
I don't disagree with you, but he tried.
Game against Lyon, that second leg, I would argue, is the most important game of Manchester United's season. If they lose and they don't win Europa and they don't get into the Champions League, if they get into the Champions League, Amorim would be a genius. Yeah. This would be a brilliant move, and it worked out even with all the adversity. So
that's not
supporting your goalkeeper right now. Like, I get it, in a couple weeks or you're out. If you're out of the thing, fine, say whatever. This is too important of a game.
I don't disagree with you, but I don't have all the confidence in the world that Manchester United should win Europa. Even though at the beginning of the season we said this needs to be considered the best team in Europa, and clearly that's not coming to fruition.
Sure.
I agree with you. If it works out that way, I don't have a lot of confidence that they're going to win. So I think Amorim is damned if he does, damned if he doesn't at this point.
Okay. The other thing we got to cover. Liverpool, Mohamed Salah does get a new contract. We've been talking about this for a long time.
All season with the will they, won't they. Finally, right. They did. They
came to their senses.
Yeah. And do we know how much he's getting paid? Did he get a big bump?
I know. All I know, it's $400K a week.
That's a bump.
I think
it was at 350.
Two? Wait.
Two-year contract.
Oh, wait. Your mic is muted, Carter. Go for it again.
Yep, 2-year contract.
The one time he was right to try to mime at us.
400K a week.
400K. Wait, that was
two-year
right.
contract, yeah. 400K a week.
So if I'm not mistaken, he was at 350K a week before that. So it was a little bit of a bump up. He got to 2 years. He probably wanted more. But it's smart after that. Go Saudi or wherever you want to go.
Right. It's seemingly the reports are saying that he had a $500 million offer from Saudi. So he basically is saying, he's saying, I can play at the highest level, and then and saying like, oh, that Saudi offer will still be available when he's probably like 35, 36.
Half a billion. So he had a San Diego FC. That's his offer. That's crazy.
You want to be an MLS owner, bro?
You already are, bro. You get your own franchise, bro. Mohamed Salah FC, play wherever you want, bro.
So it's
that's nuts.
But given you know, if he stays healthy and finishes that contract.
Also, what he means to that region.
Exactly. The money.
I'm so happy for him to go there.
Yeah.
I don't care about anything else happening geopolitically.
They're
going to
build a statue before he arrives.
He should walk through the statue as the entry. You know, like Trojan horse come out of his own afro. Even though he doesn't have that anymore. Yeah, he's going with the Dominican Papi Chulo haircut. But to me, there were the three big names right at Liverpool, right? You had your Trent Alexander-Arnold, you had your Mohamed Salah, and you had your Virgil van Dijk. Not in that order, obviously. You had to get it right. You had to resign two or at least one of them, right? Trent, we already know he's gone. He's going to Real Madrid. Got that out of the way. That leaves a little bit more. Now it almost feels like you have to do both Mohamed Salah and Virgil van Dijk. Virgil van Dijk's still not settled. He's been kind of hands off about the whole thing. Like, we'll figure that out at the end of the season. We'll figure out when the time comes. Mohamed Salah took a different track. Mohamed Salah saying, like, I can't be spicy about my own contract situation. I'm going to be spicy about yours. So in the post game, he said, now we got to get this guy settled up. As far as I'm concerned, how old is Virgil van Dijk? If you could look that up. I think he's 31, if I'm not mistaken. Virgil van Dijk, 31, 32. I'm all for Mohamed Salah getting a contract extension because he's proven physically he's the best, right? Yeah, yeah. He's put himself in a position.
Virgil van Dijk's 33.
33 years old.
Okay.
I think.
But for a center back, it's not really that big a deal.
Well, here's what I'm going to say. Mohamed Salah physically has put himself in a position to say he's kind of timeless, right? Virgil van Dijk doesn't have a long history of injuries. Virgil van Dijk doesn't seem like the type of player that needs to run very much in a game.
Yeah.
He always puts himself in the right position. But at some point, he will be a little bit slower than everyone else. At some point, that does happen. And that could get caught out. Is he still worth that money if he takes that slight dip in the next season or two? Should they re-sign Virgil van Dijk is what I'm saying.
You would be crazy not to. He's just too...
But like, is that an American sports mentality of paying someone for what they've done, not for what they're gonna do?
I mean, he's going to do it. I mean, there's been no dip in form. He has just been... incredibly solid.
He's the best defender. I mean,
there's very few complaints. He's gotten caught out. He's made a couple mistakes this season.
Okay, so this is what I'm talking about.
Two or three.
That's going to happen more, right? The slower and older he gets, the more that's going to happen. I'm not saying it happens enough where we consider him a bad defender. I don't think that's going to happen if he gets a two-year contract as well. I don't think that'll happen in those 2 years.
Yeah, yeah.
But is that money worth that? Is there...
There's just no one else.
Is there better...
That's really the big issue.
That's not true. I think Saliba, but that's
fine. But that Liverpool are actually going to sign that are available. No, what?
Right.
But play the clip real quick. This is Mohamed Salah talking about Virgil van Dijk's contract situation.
Look how happy he is to do it.
They're both smirking.
Yeah, I'm glad that we managed to do that early before the end of the season, and hopefully Virgil also would be next. I'm just saying hopefully. I
didn't say you're under the bus there, Virgil.
I'm just... he can do it, whatever he wants.
All right, pause it there.
I would love to see him again next year.
You can pause it.
You can pause it. The funny thing here is just the... there's just so much tension around this. It seems like I don't exactly know why, but even him jokingly being like, oh, hopefully he gets his contract. He's like, he could do whatever he wants.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, you didn't say anything that crazy.
Well, I mean, you don't want to reveal anyone's hand, right? You don't want the age. Virgil van Dijk's agent is like, yo, chill.
Yo, he doesn't
We lying about this MLS contract, bro.
He doesn't hope any. Nobody's hoping for whatever.
No,
okay?
No. We need him to come to the hospital number first.
Okay. You need to, it's all in doubt. You know,
Did you ever hear the rule of like you make an offer in sales, right? You present your, okay, if we fix this, and we save you whatever, 20%, will you sign a contract? Once you do that, the next person to make a sound loses. Have you ever heard of this theory?
Yeah.
Okay. One time I was on the phone. I did it. I was like, blah, 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 blah. If we could save you that, if we could do that, those things and save you 20%, will you sign on the dotted line? And I was waiting. And it was uncomfortable. It was probably 4 seconds, but it was uncomfortable. The guy behind me, one of my good friends at the time, still, I hope he's doing well. I haven't talked to him in a minute. He knew that this was happening. And there was a couple, like the managers and stuff were surrounding me to make sure that the deal went through. It was a huge deal. And he just got up. He spread his butt cheeks and farted. And it went like, it was one of those. And everyone behind me started laughing. And I did not make the sale. The guy's like, what was that? And I said, I think it's the heating. And everyone's laughing. It was
literally the last direction I thought that story would go in.
That's basically what's happening here. It's like, an offer has been presented probably to Virgil van Dijk or maybe it's the opposite and no, you can't speak. No,
right.
No, and you can't give up any leverage whatsoever. Every little thing is like, that's the weakness. We won.
Yeah.
This kind of, that's what it's like, whatever he wants to do, it's up to him. And blah, blah, blah. He basically spread his butt cheeks and farted. That's basically what happened.
Yes. Well, okay. Great analogy.
Now, what can Men in Blazers say about that? I dare you to find something.
All right. last thing, this wasn't on the run. I just want to mention this, but Everton did beat Nottingham Forest this weekend.
What is going on?
And I'm only mentioning this
because you're wearing an Everton shirt.
But I'm only mentioning this because I tweeted at our peer,
you're gonna lose this bet.
Yahoo.
If you don't remember, Ariel Helwani and you have a bet that you thought Everton would finish above.
I was very confident.
Yeah, yeah. Well, then no, it's not happening.
It doesn't look like
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But
you should have said Manchester United.
But we did beat them.
You did beat them.
Over the weekend. Great goal from Abdoulaye Doucouré, and who did a whole, speaking of contract stuff, he did a contract. He was like
a little signature
celebration, being like, yo, give me the contract. I will sign it. But I did, tweet at Ariel Helwani.
Okay, the only other person interested in this. Go ahead.
And I tweeted him the Molly McCann video of her screaming up the F in toffees after a big UFC. Shout out to Molly, who retired from fighting. A lot of other women's faces are safer right now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. My arm. Every time I'm in a lap, she punched me. I'm like, please stop doing that. You have lethal weapons on your wrists.
So I responded with that. Little, nice little cheeky response. And he said, at least we're not in 14th. Okay, Ariel. Good comeback, I guess.
You're not, but you did lose to someone who is.
So, look, you might end up winning the bet. I'm just saying, but I gotta get my jabs in where I can. Yeah. All right, so I'm not trying to look silly in this fight.
Right at the end, he will win, but at least you got this moment.
Exactly. Yeah. All right, I got my face is swollen.
We had him in the first half. Bro.
My lip is bleeding.
Yeah.
All right, but my wife is still proud of me.
Yeah, that's right. What is the bet? What is the?
Well, we didn't make. We just said there was a bet, but we didn't say what the consequences would be.
Oh, that's tough because you can't. He can't make it too egregious now because he knows he's gonna win.
Yeah, yeah, but we'll see. Maybe I'll think of something. I'm gonna live up to the bet though. If he doesn't decide the terms of it, I'll try to do something. Whether it's wearing a Nottingham kit or something like that for a show.
I think we could do a little bit more than that. I'll wear a Nottingham kit.
All right.
I hate these stupid bets. Like you gotta wear a Barcelona kit. If you, who cares? It's a shirt.
Okay, I gotta get punched by Molly McCann, according to Alexis,
in the arm at least. I mean, she honestly bruised me.
We gotta take another.
There's more show. I
there's more
you.
Show, and right then there's drama this. In Italy because more gambling issues.
We gotta bet on it.
All right. Speaking of wagers, all right, we'll be right back.
All right, in news from overseas, it looks like Sandro Tonali is under investigation yet again. And he's not alone. It looks like there's, 12 total footballers currently under investigation, a lot of them from Juventus, about illegal gambling. I think for the Tonali, I don't think this is an additional investigation. I think this was already part of the original.
Okay.
If I read the story correctly, odds are I didn't. But for when it comes to Weston McKennie, this is difficult to sort of read because, you know, we hope for the best for the guy. He's in Europe.
Of course,
He's playing incredibly well. Now he has this over his head. You don't want that. But it seems like from the story that I read, and I think Stars and Stripes did a whole story on this, it seems that they were illegally gambling, not on soccer, though. They were illegally gambling on other sports. In particular, it seems like poker was a big thing. So the website's illegal in Italy. Mm. And the way they were paying their debt was they would go to a very fancy jewelry store, I believe in Milan, and it looked like they were purchasing watches. They would get receipts for purchasing fancy watches, very expensive watches. But what they were doing is they were paying off their debt through this jewelry store. So I guess the jewelry store is associated with wherever this website was.
Mm-hmm.
Look, they said that it's probably just going to be a fine legally, right? Legally, legal speaking, this isn't something punishable by jail time or anything. It's mostly a fine. But the sport, the justice of sport, right? The sports tribunal, whatever, may come down and then may suspend them. Why? You're not even gambling on soccer, dude.
I guess there is, it does seem a little bit like, I mean, just to give some charitability and some grace of like, if they're not betting on the sport that they play and it has no impact, you can at least think like, oh, maybe it's not that big of a deal. But when you think of professional sports, and if any player has a gambling debt on even another sport,
they could be corrupted.
They could be, something could happen. Yeah. So you understand why you want to weed that out of the game and out of the sport.
I get how it's a slippery slope, but part of me is like, all right, these guys were caught. You're playing poker. Don't do it again. To ban them from the game, from playing the game, doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Yeah.
Well, pay the fine, maybe do a little community service. You know what I mean? Pick up, clean up a highway. You know, sure. Get out there, buddy.
I mean, Tonali obviously suffered a very severe penalty because he didn't play for 9 months.
His name is Sullied. When you hear Tonali, you don't think good player in Newcastle. You think him gambling. Also, Tonali did gamble on soccer.
Yeah, yeah. So that makes you understand why.
Yeah.
It is interesting I even think the perception of betting has changed a lot because it's obviously much more widespread.
Yeah.
And then, but it's even with players. I mean, who's the Pete Rose who just passed away recently? But I mean, 30, 40 years ago, the idea of a player gambling.
Even to bet on yourself. Even to bet on Pete Rose, only bet on himself.
Tonali is like, people are like, all right, yeah, he's good. You're like, we forgave him.
Yeah.
Like,
he suffered enough.
Yeah, yeah. And it's interesting just how the culture has sort of changed around it. The one thing here for me is just like, baby, Weston, what? I don't want your name being,
yeah, dude, you gotta
being in this. Like, who are your buddies? Who are your friends?
Right.
This can't be.
Look, I'm all for, you know me, my legal line is a little bit further along than yours. You know, I tend to think of some things like this. And I was having a conversation with someone else who grew up in Newark, and me and him were like agreeing on this. I'm like, oh, this might be a us thing. I'm starting to realize this might be the way we were raised. But to me, Weston McKennie didn't really do anything wrong here. But I will say, you have to be smart. As a professional player, if you're like, I want to play poker, and maybe it's not legal to do it, right? I'm fine with you saying, like, let me figure out a way to maybe do it, right? Because I want to play poker. And it's not like these guys are struggling for money. They have the money, right? The moment someone says, hey, you owe us money, here's how you pay for it. You go to the store, give this guy money. He's going to hand you a receipt for two Rolexes. That's when you got to go, you know what? If other people heard this, they might think. And look, this is showing growth as a human being, because I didn't think of it this way when this show started.
Right, right.
But now, after being told by my wife multiple times, we don't do things like that anymore. Now I realize if someone says you pay for your gambling debts and get handed a receipt for Rolexes or a couple Richard meals, I'd be like, okay, you know what?
Yeah.
Maybe this could get me in trouble with my job.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the main thing. Weston McKennie is obviously—
Shout out to my growth, bro.
Okay. It sounds like you're talking about like a growth on your body.
Yeah, yeah. I might have one of them as well, bro.
I got to get that. See a dermatologist, yeah, Alexis. He's obviously such an important player to the U.S. men's national team. And you just don't— Look, because especially when you're in the— Your name is paired in anything, in any kind of document with Sandro Tonali, you're like, this is just not a good look.
Not a good look.
And this is just something I'm like, I mean, look, I'm sure there's not a shortage of fun things to do out in Turin or Milan or anything.
You know, everybody looks at Drake betting $400,000 on a hand in stake.com.
Right, right.
And everybody's like, oh, that's so much fun. Every one of their shirts basically has a gambling, sponsor on it. Everything's gambling. Everyone's okay with it. And then all of a sudden, these guys do it, and maybe they go to a jewelry store to pay off their gambling debt to some bad guys. And now all of a sudden, it's bad. You know what I mean?
Yes. With all that context, yeah, all of a sudden, it is a little bit bad.
But what I'm saying is we're sending mixed messages.
I agree. Yeah, yeah. John Oliver has done a bunch of great segments about gambling and sports and how easy it all is. So
it sounds like what you did didn't make me money, so now I'm upset. Had you done it legally, then I would have been able to make a tax on it or this and that. Now I'm not mad anymore.
Hey, yo, what are you talking about? It's talking about capitalism, talking about government, right, bro. That's all bigger picture, bigger conversation.
How do we get more money in the hands of MLS owners?
That's what I'm rooting for.
That's what Christian's asking about.
All right, let's wrap up there, everybody. Thank you again for tuning in. We always appreciate it. We'll be back on Thursday with the new episode. Do we have a guest on Thursday? I don't even know if we do. still? Do we have we already decided?
Brad Stuver.
Hey! Brad Stuver! Let's go. We'll talk about the little mouse he captured. all right. So be on the lookout for that on Thursday. And I just want to, real quick before we wrap up, I just want to mention this because I haven't had a chance to talk about it.
Carter's ripping his beard out.
Very quickly. And he's going to feel... the tragedy in Dominican Republic and in Santo Domingo has been really, I mean, a lot of people, especially in my family, and we've all, like, I think Dominicans as a whole have really been talking about it a lot more. There was a singer,
very famous, Ruby iconic. Perez,
who has a bunch of iconic, like, merengue songs, and he held a concert at this, like, sort of nightclub-ish kind of venue.
That apparently wasn't
up to code.
Yeah, it wasn't up to code. They shouldn't have had this.
The roof collapsed, and so many people's lives were lost. It's just such
including the singer.
Including the singer, some of his family, or I think maybe his I think his daughter survived. It's just so unbelievably tragic. But it just highlights kind of I think the bigger conversation is just about the corruption and a lot of countries in the Caribbean have this. I mean, it's not that it doesn't happen in the United States either.
It happens everywhere, but it's
just like the
inspectors just getting paid off to turn a blind
police,
eye.
Looking the other way, and it's just so ridiculous that something like that
and now a legend and lives are lost because of it.
Yeah, it's so
this news broke just after the Declan Rice Real Madrid match. Because I remember the news switched. I was watching it in Spanish at the bar, and it switched. I'm like, why are they having the DR all of a sudden?
Yeah.
But the audio wasn't on, so I couldn't hear what was happening.
So, yeah, I've been seeing more people have conversations about, like, just kind of, like, holding those people accountable and just, like, the kind of the future of the country. That
remember
things
that
like
crazy
that shouldn't
fire
happen.
In Connecticut, that rock band that wasn't supposed to... They weren't supposed to have shows and like a bunch of people died. It was like a massive fire.
Yeah, yeah.
This was many, many years ago. It's probably 20, 30 years ago at this point. But that led to a lot of changes in code and people taking it a little bit stricter. Hopefully that happens from this tragedy as well.
Same. So yeah, obviously my thoughts are out for everybody that a lot of people were affected in Santo Domingo. Yeah, just one of the saddest and just awful things to see. So you hate to see that. All right. Let's wrap. As usual, thank you everybody for tuning in. Make sure you follow the Cooligans everywhere you can at Soccer Cooligans on Blue Sky, especially subscribe, hit the like button on YouTube, and that's about it. Everybody, we'll be back on Thursday with another fun show. So we'll see you then, everybody. Peace.
Love you guys.